Jesus asked a very important question near the end of his life. He asked a group of Pharisees this question in Matthew chapter 22, verse 42. What do you think about the Christ? Now that's a question of paramount importance. What do you think about the Christ? And if we were to ask a dozen different people randomly on the street, we would probably get a dozen different answers. What do you think about the Christ? Well, Paul, in his letter to the church at Colossae, answered that question by saying that Christ is preeminent. He's above all. He's over all. Now, if we were to tell people that after we ask them that question, some would be very offended for us to say that Christ is the preeminent one. But nevertheless, that's the truth. He is the preeminent one. In our particular text tonight, Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18, shows us in what ways Christ is preeminent. And then tells us how that fact should change how we live. In our text, I want us to note that the word all is used six times in those few verses. Because Christ is all we need because of who He is. So I want us to focus our attention on Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. Paul writes, in talking about Christ, He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He's before all things. And in Him all things consist, and He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. The preeminence of Christ. That's the title of our lesson. The preeminence of Christ. Why is He preeminent? Paul says the first reason He is preeminent is because He is the image of the invisible God. The image. This is an exact representation. Not a partial picture, not an incomplete one, but He's the exact representation. He's the visible expression of the invisible God. And while He walked on earth, people asked Him about who He was. And this was His reply in John chapter 14. Notice how He replies to that in John chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. Philip said to Him, referring to Christ, "Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us." Well, Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" That's what He's telling Philip. I am the image of the invisible God. If you see me, you have seen the Father. If you talk to me, you have talked to the Father. If you hear me, you have heard the Father. And today, when we listen to Christ, we are listening to the Father. We are listening to deity. So Christ, because He is this image of the invisible God, He possesses all the attributes, every single one of God. So by looking at His life, we can perceive what God is like. We can perceive the divine nature. We can perceive what deity is like. We can perceive the qualities and the characteristics of deity by simply looking at Jesus' life. What He said, what He didn't say, where did He go, what did He do, the conversations that He had, the sermons that He preached. We learn deity. He is the visible expression of the invisible God. So Christ brought to light, He illuminated God. No other person who's ever lived or will live has done that. Yes, there's been great people that's lived and walked on this earth, but none of them were the image of the invisible God. None of them at all. Only Christ. And so by looking at Him, we learn God. We learn about who God is. So He's the image of the invisible God. That's reason number one why He's preeminent. Reason number two from our text is the Bible says He is the Creator. It says, He is the firstborn over all creation. The word firstborn is used in the Bible in different ways. Here it's a title. And it's a title of the highest honor, the very highest honor. The psalmist, back in Psalms 89, verse 27, in referring to King David, says, "Also I will make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth." See, this was a title, this was a rank. God was saying about King David that He was going to make him the firstborn. In other words, He was going to make him the greatest, the highest, the preeminence of all the kings on the earth. So when Jesus is said to be the firstborn over all creation, that is a title. It's a title of the greatest honor. It's a position that no one else has ever held nor will held. It's a rank. And it's one of preeminence. All of these descriptions are about Christ being preeminent, the preeminent one. No one greater. So it's a rank showing superiority and supremacy of all over all others. He possesses authority, He possesses headship. Why? Because He is the Creator. That's why He possesses authority over all creation, is because He created it. He created it. It's His. And there's a number of ways in which He is truthfully called the Creator. He's the agent of creation of the entire physical world. In John chapter 1, verse 3, when John describes Jesus, he describes Him like this. At the very beginning, he says about Jesus, verse 3, "All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made." So there was nothing in the world that was made that Jesus didn't make. He made it all. He was that agent of creation. When we go back to Genesis 1 and we look at all of those things in the physical world that were created, our earth and everything in it, you know, the water and the atmosphere and everything about the earth was created by Jesus. He was the agent of creation. It didn't just happen by accident. Jesus spoke it into existence. All life, Jesus was the agent of creation. All things were made through Him. All the animal world, all the plant world, the insects. He brought all of those into existence. That's why He is the preeminent one over creation, is because He created it. It's His. All the stars and all the planets and all the galaxies and all of that, He created. Humanity, He created. He was the agent of creation. He made our bodies like He made us. He made us with our circulatory system and our respiratory system, and He made it that way. So when Paul talks about Him being preeminent, that's another reason He is preeminent. Because He is the Creator. There's nothing in this world that He created that was an accident. He didn't create something and go, whoops. No. Everything was exactly like He wanted. He was the agent of creation. Nothing was made that was made without Him. Nothing at all. He's also, though, the source of spiritual creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul writes there to the church at Corinth and says these words to them in verse 17 of the 5th chapter. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We're a new creation. Where are we a new creation? In Christ. How did that happen? Well, we go back to Romans chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, and we are told that when we are baptized into Christ, we are raised to walk a new life. We're a new creation. Why? Because we were baptized into Christ. So not only is Christ the agent of the physical world, He is the agent of creation for our spiritual lives as well. James calls Christians in his letter, those who have been brought forth by the word of truth, a kind of first fruits of His creatures. A kind of first fruits. That's what Christians are. Since Christ possesses authority over His creation, then we are to submit to His rule. He made us. We didn't make ourselves. We didn't create ourselves. We didn't create this world. It's Christ. So we owe Him everything. And everyone does. He is the only source or cause of eternal salvation. That's what Hebrews 5:9 tells us about the Christ. He is the source, the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey Him. All those. But it's only those who obey Him, it's only those who repent and are baptized that become part of this new creation. And we're under His rule. So He is the creator of this wonderful world. He's the creator of our spiritual lives. He's the preeminent one. He's also the preeminent one because He's the sustainer of all things. Verse 17 says, "And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist." Two things of great importance in that little verse. The word before. He is before all things in time. He has always been. If we go back again to John chapter 1, John says that about Christ's existence. He says in the very first verse, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." He's eternal. He wasn't created, even though some false religions teach that. He wasn't created. He didn't come into being at any time. He has always been. We can't wrap our heads around that. That's way beyond our finite minds. But He's always been. All of us had a beginning. Not Him. He's always been. So He was before all things. He was in the beginning with God. And in Him, because of Him, by Him, through Him, all things consist. Consist there comes from the phrase that means held together. Held together. The Hebrew writer describes that this way in Hebrews chapter 1. When he says about Christ in verse 3, "Who being the brightness of His glory and express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power." Upholding all things by the word of His power. That's what He does. The reason the world is still here right now is Christ is keeping it going. Has nothing to do with you, me, or anything else. It's because Christ is keeping it going. He's the preeminent one. He has the power. No one else does. I can't destroy this world. I can't destroy a star. I can't keep this world going. Christ does it. He keeps the entire universe running, operating, keeps all the processes going. He controls all the laws of nature. Why? Well, He made them. The reason we have the law of gravity, Christ made it. All of nature keeps going because of Him. All the planets stay in their correct orbits because of Him. He keeps it running. And of course, one day, it's all going to be over. He does that. He controls the seasons. He controls the changing of the seasons. Why do they change? Not because of man and his discoveries, has nothing to do with it. Christ keeps the seasons changing. He makes sure all the biological processes on earth keep running. He makes sure that the plants are able to produce energy from the sun. That's not something that evolved. He made them like that from the beginning, and He keeps that going. All right? Nature doesn't keep that going because nature isn't a thing. Nature doesn't have power. It's Christ that keeps those things going. So He's the preeminent one because He's the sustainer of all of these things. So He created all of these things, and He keeps all these things going. That's why Paul says He's the preeminent one. No one else does that. You can't go to any other religion and find someone that does that. It's only Christ. He is the agent of creation. Paul says the fourth reason He's preeminent is that He is the head of the body, the church. He is the source of authority for the church. Paul made a similar statement when he wrote to the church at Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, Paul writes, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body." So we are to submit to Him. He is the head of the church. He possesses all the right to control the body. Remember what He told His apostles not long before He ascended? "All authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth." Matthew 28:18. All authority, not most of it, not 99% of it, but all authority has been given to Me. Not just in heaven or not just in earth, or on earth, both. And He controls these things through His Word. If we skip over to the third chapter of Colossians, notice what He says in verses 16 and 17. He says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus by His authority." Why? Because He has all authority. You and I don't have any right whatsoever to change His Word. Not even a little bit. And all of those people throughout time who has taught something contrary to God's Word will have to answer for it. Because there's not a single human that has any right whatsoever to change His Word in any respect, not even a little bit. None. He's the preeminent one. It's His last will and testament. You know, the Hebrew writer emphasizes that it's Christ's last will and testament. And no one has a right to change someone's will. You and I cannot change Christ's will. We don't have the authority to do that. So as head of the body of the church, He is also the source of all spiritual blessings. Back in Ephesians, when He began that letter to the church at Ephesus, He said in chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." There are no spiritual blessings outside of Christ. Not a single one. You can't have forgiveness of sins outside of Christ. You can't have peace outside of Christ. You can't have redemption outside of Christ. You can't have salvation outside of Christ. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. And since He's the head of the body, just like our head, you know, without our head, our body dies. Now, I can lose an arm and still function. I can lose a leg and still function. I can lose a lung and still function. I can lose a kidney and still function. If I lose my head, it's all over. So since Christ is the head, He's the one that sustains the body. Again, He's the preeminent one. He supplies our needs. So only by being in the body of Christ is someone going to be blessed with these spiritual blessings. And how does one get into the body of Christ? After placing their faith in Christ, after repenting of their sins and making that great confession, they are baptized into Christ, just like we read back in Romans chapter 6, verse 4. So no one that has not done that experiences any of those spiritual blessings. Now, they may feel like they have them. They may believe that they have them. They may think that they have them. But they don't have them. The Bible is clear about it. So in Christ is the only realm where one is pronounced righteous. Nowhere else. It's the only place where salvation is found. 2 Timothy 2:10. Salvation is not found anywhere outside of Christ. And then he finishes by saying that in all things he may have the preeminence. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He has supremacy even over death and Hades. In Revelation chapter 1, the writer John says this in verses 17 and 18. Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death." Of course, that's referring to Christ. He is. He's the preeminent one. He has supremacy even over death and Hades. And he's the one who's going to stand in judgment over everyone. In his teaching in Matthew 25, we have the scene where Christ comes in his glory and sits on his throne and divides all the people into two groups. The sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Verses 31 and 32 of that chapter. Where is he now? He's at the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. All. Since he has all preeminence, how much does that leave for you and me? None. He has all preeminence. It's not about what I like or what I want. It's about what has he said? What does he want? He's the preeminent one. He's the head of the church. He's the creator. He's the sustainer, not me. So it's about what he has said. So going back to our original question, what do you think about the Christ? What do you think about him? You're willing to place yourself under his authority since he's the head? Obey his word, the word of truth? The Bible says, if so, all of these spiritual blessings are yours. What do you think about the Christ? That's our question of the night. If anyone needs to respond to that wonderful gospel invitation, they need to ask for prayers, then now is the time as we stand and sing this song.